The great French singer Edith Piaf is perhaps best known for the song Je ne regrette rien, I regret nothing. It's a noble and a self-confident sentiment that we may in a way admire, and yet it just doesn't ring true, does it? The truth is that all of us have things we regret. Maybe we regret something that we've done. Maybe we regret something that we didn't do. Maybe it's something that we said. Or maybe it's something that we didn't say and we wish we had said. And so often these things won't leave us. They keep coming back to unsettle us. Well, tonight we meet a man who very publicly is filled with the greatest of regrets and yet was relieved and restored by a great king. There's actually a sequel, and there's a prequel, to use the modern jargon, to our story. So let's see what went before. We need to meet a man who boasts, so that to understand what's going on here, we have to go back a few hours from this event to something that took place following a meal that Jesus had with his disciples on this night before his crucifixion. We read of it in Mark chapter 14, verses 27 to 31. You will all fall away, Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. So we see here a Peter, full of self-confidence and fully committed to Jesus. The trouble is that he is committed to the wrong Jesus. It's not that he doesn't trust Jesus. It's not that he doesn't know that Jesus really is the promised Messiah or Christ. He's already confessed that. It's just that he doesn't understand how a hero can allow himself to be taken prisoner and put to death. That doesn't square with his idea of what the Messiah should look like. He's full of good intentions. He honestly thinks that Jesus needs him to defend him. He can't get his head round the idea that what he really needs is a Jesus who will have to die to save him and to build the kingdom of God. It's just not on his radar. And so in his good intentions, but woefully mistaken way, he boasts that he won't let this happen to Jesus. And no matter what anyone else does, he will be there defending to the death the Jesus that he loves. And even when Jesus warns him that he will not only actively fall away, he will disown him three times before the cock crows twice. And boastful Peter thinks he knows better, and he will take charge, and he will keep this Jesus right. And I simply ask you tonight, if you think you know Jesus, Are you sure it's the real Jesus that you know? And not one made up in your head with your ideas of what a saviour should be, what a saviour should look like, what a saviour should do. Are you still full of yourself? Or are you listening to and following the real Jesus? Because if we move to the passage that Michael read to us this evening, the man who was the man who was boasting is now the man full of regrets. I posed that question at the beginning, and I'm going to put myself on the spot now. Have you ever said something that still causes you embarrassment and gives you cold shivers when you think about it? I was once introducing a speaker called David Potter. And for some reason that I have never understood, when the words came out of my mouth, I referred to him as David Potty. I couldn't stop myself, even as the words were on my lips. I felt so stupid, so embarrassed. I just wanted the ground to open up and swallow me. I never heard a word of what he said that night. I was just too racked with shame and embarrassment. And though I can and I have to laugh about it now, it still causes me embarrassment to this day. But what Peter faces and suffers here is far worse and far more destructive. You see, even at this moment, as the passage begins, Peter does not see his potential weakness. He's standing on past achievements. He stood firm and loyal with Jesus as Jesus has been challenged publicly by the great and the powerful. The words of the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the leaders of the people, in all their force and bitterness, left no mark on Peter. He's not damaged by them. But now, in this courtyard, the words of a humble servant girl prove his undoing. What a lesson to us. We can be so strong and so right on the big issues, and yet undone by something totally unexpected and seemingly powerless to hurt us. Now, when it comes to the accusations and the challenges against him, Peter has qualities I would be happy to have associated with me. He's revealed as a follower of Jesus as soon as he speaks, as soon as he appears in public. Would that people said that about me. And notice, he's known not for what he has done, but for who he has been with. The accusation, or should it really be a commendation, is that you also were with that Nazarene, Jesus. Has anyone ever accused you of being with Jesus? Is that a description that anyone would make of you? Can anyone see your relationship with Jesus? They might know that you are religious. They might know that you go to church. But would they describe you as someone who has been with Jesus? That's what Peter was being accused of. And that's what he denies. Now, one thing I never did in my school days was to play truant. But when I started teaching, it was something I often had to deal with. On those caught out, when I sat and talked to them, always told me the same story, that the first time they did it, it was really hard. But after that, each time it got easier and easier to go on doing it, and harder to stop. One lie so very often leads to another as we attempt to keep our deceit hidden. And so Peter, having denied Jesus the first time, just cannot stop. He goes on to do it again and again, digging the hole that he is in deeper and deeper. And then, as if from nowhere, the sound of the cock cries out. And the reality catches up with Peter. And in that one moment, truth crashes in on him. How his empty boasting hurts him now. And how much pain comes as he realizes not only has he denied his beloved Jesus, not only has he done exactly what was predicted and would not accept, but with Jesus under arrest and facing death, then he can see no way, no chance of putting right what he has done wrong. He is hopeless and helpless in the face of God's truth about him. And so riddled with regret that it all just pours out of him. Hence the tragic and the heartbreaking sight of this strong, this self-confident man breaking down and weeping in public. It just seems that he will never be able to rid himself of this regret. He's blown it, and there's no way back. How does he live with that? Well, thankfully, it's not the end of the story. Because, as we're going to see, there is a king who restores. A king who restores. If this were a purely human story, then Peter would die a broken man, full of regret at letting down his friend and his saviour. But here's the wonderful news. Peter's weeping and regret is not the end of his relationship with Jesus. The crucified Jesus takes Peter's failure and mistaken self-confidence all the way to the cross and forgives. But then, the risen Christ restores Peter, restores him to a fuller and better relationship, and uses him greatly in his service. As soon as he's risen from the grave, Jesus wants Peter to know. Mark 16 and verse 5, the women on the Sunday morning go to the tomb expecting to find the body. But as they entered the tomb, we read, Mark 16 and 5, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Peter is singled out by name, that the risen Christ wants to see him, wants to meet with him. Because Jesus has a great role for the restored Peter. And so in the end of John's Gospel, John 21, we find an incident where the risen Jesus is eating a breakfast on the seashore with his disciples, and he takes Peter aside. And John tells us about the conversation. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Jesus is commissioning him to care for the Lord's people. And very significantly, Jesus asks him that question three times. It's as though he's showing that this is full restoration for Peter's three denials. Jesus knows all about it. It's forgiven, and now Peter is restored and commissioned to serve Jesus and to care for the people who are precious to the Lord. What an amazing king this Jesus is. What human leader would forgive and restore like this? If you have regrets tonight, then I urge you to take them to the cross of Jesus, and you will not only find forgiveness, but full restoration, as Peter did, from the risen King of Glory. Peter found restoration, and he spent the rest of his life serving the one he had so misunderstood and so let down at the beginning. And the same can be true for every one of us. I pray that whatever has gone wrong in your life, whatever regrets you carry, however much you've failed him in the past, that you will take all that to Jesus and know his mercy and know full restoration, so that you can love and enjoy and serve him and his people forever. Amen.